Well, I'm excited about what the Lord has been doing in our church. Are you excited about the good things that God's doing in our church? I tell you, it's just to see new faces, new folks that are coming and joining, people that are being saved, people that are being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized. I mean, to sense the presence of the Lord like we sense here. You know, you don't go to every church and experience what we're experiencing. I mean, God's doing something. He's up to something right now. I can't quite sing it like Dion can, but neither can anybody else, right? God is up to something. He's doing something, and it's exciting, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And, you know, I just believe that the Lord wants to grow our church. I just really do. And, you know, I heard a long time ago that anything that's alive and healthy is going to be growing, you know? That's alive and healthy, it's going to grow. And so we want to be that kind of alive, healthy church that's growing. And one of the things that we see is that that was the New Testament pattern. I mean, that's to grow. I mean, from the very and I know sometimes we get caught up in systems and strategies and programming, but it's really not all that complicated. I'm not saying that there aren't some things that we can learn as we study culture, as we understand what works and what maybe doesn't work, but bottom line is we just want to be doing what the early church was doing. It seemed to be working pretty good back then. I think it would still work today. I was some time ago aware of a Roman historian who was not a Christian, but he'd watched the early church. He'd seen them. He'd watched the growth. They were growing like no other religious sect of that day. And he's like, man, what is it about these Christians? What's different about them? And so he watched and studied and researched them for a while. And finally, he came down to five things that he had seen that he believed that were five reasons for the growth of the New Testament church. Number one, about the church, he says that they were flaming messengers and tireless workers. I mean, they were on fire for Jesus. Can you say on fire? They were on fire for Jesus. And that fire motivated it. It mobilized them. It moved them out to tell people about Jesus. They were tireless workers. Their belief in the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, number two, and the future life gave them hope. They believed that Jesus really had died, but that he had risen from the dead and that they had life because of that. They knew what they believed, they believed what they knew, and they acted on it. Number three, their fellowship made them strong and attractive. They were a community. They were a family. They loved one another. They took care of one another. People wanted to be a part of that. Number four, the purity of their lives was a validation of their witness of Jesus. In other words, they practiced what they preached. And number five, the evidence of power within the church made them a place for desperate people to turn. The power of the Holy Spirit. There were signs and wonders and miracles. It was a pretty awesome thing that was going on. And the outside world, broken and hurting, they see that this church has something that's changing lives. People's lives are being changed. And they said, I want to be a part of that. Now, if you compare what that Roman historian wrote to what Luke, the writer of Acts, wrote, you see that there are really, they just seamlessly come together. A lot of parallels, a lot of overlaps there. And I want us to read together what Luke said in Acts chapter 2, and we're gonna talk. I'm kicking off a new sermon series today that we're titling What Made the New Testament Church Grow? What was it that made the New Testament Church grow? We're gonna be looking at some of these principles that are found in the New Testament over the course of the next few weeks, and I hope that you will intend to come and that you'll invite someone to join you. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, begin reading at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily. Somebody say daily. Those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number daily. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 in one day. Later on, 5,000 in one day. Later on, so many came to Christ in one day, they couldn't count them all. They just said that there were multitudes of men and women. But it wasn't just that the disciples were multiplying and growing, but there were churches that were growing because the disciples were making disciples who were making disciples that were making churches who were making disciples who were making disciples who were making disciples who were making more churches. And that was the life cycle of the early church as they continued to reach people, bring them into the kingdom, turn them into disciples, set them free to just continue that process. I want to throw out just kind of a vision that I have. I hope that you would adopt this vision of Spirit Life Church or for Spirit Life Church, and that is that we will be a church that is so effective at reaching the lost and then discipling the reached that our church will grow to the point where we can plant new churches that will reach the lost and disciple the reached.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I think that would be something we could get on board with and say, hey, I think the Lord would honor that kind of a commitment to be in a church that's reaching the lost. That's number one. Got to reach the lost. But how many of you know that Jesus didn't just say make converts? In the Great Commission, he said go and make what? Disciples. And sometimes we do pretty good at making converts, but we don't do so good at making disciples. We're going to be talking about that in this series, some things that we want to do to become more effective in making disciples, but literally growing our church, growing our body, developing one another to the point that wouldn't it be great if we could just take, you know, like a whole group of us to just go somewhere else and just do it all over again in another area of town, in another community around us that needs the fire of God that we're experiencing right here. So I want us to look this morning at what it was that made the New Testament church grow, and I'm just going to focus in on one thing today. The first key, which is what I'm going to call mobilization, that they were passionate about reaching the lost. They didn't just believe that it ought to happen. They didn't just talk about it ought to happen. They didn't just preach that it ought to happen. They didn't just say Jesus said that it ought to happen. They made sure it happened. They loved Jesus. They were so passionate, so on fire for what Jesus had done in their lives that had changed them, that they found themselves everywhere they're going, they're talking about Jesus. As the words of that Roman historian, they were flaming messengers and tireless workers. We wouldn't really use that terminology today, but basically they were excited about Jesus. They were motivated to do the work of spreading the gospel. They were passionate about what God had done for them. Jesus said, the zeal of mine house has eaten me up, has consumed me. I'm on fire is what he was saying. The early church was described as a peculiar people zealous of good works. And again, we don't really use the word zeal and zealous today. That's kind of King James kind of language for the most part. But what we do use is we use the word passion. We use the word passion. We talk about being passion, filled with passion. I'm not just talking about romantic kind of stuff. We say that we're passionate about our job maybe, or we're passionate about a hobby, or we're passionate about our family. We're motivated. We're excited. We want to do that. And that's the way that the early church, they were excited. They were motivated. They were passionate. They were on fire for Jesus. They were driven, excited, passionate, motivated, unstoppable, because they understood the stakes. They understood, they really believed. Can you believe this? They really believed that there was a heaven and a hell. Can you believe that? I mean, that early church, those believers, they really believed that when people died, that they were going into an eternity, and it was either going to be heaven or hell, and there was no other choice. They really believed that. Can you imagine? I believe the same thing too. But you see, it so motivated them, they did something about it. They're like, if people are going to heaven or hell when they die, we want to make sure that they go to heaven. We don't want to see any of our friends. We don't want to see any of our family. We want to see anybody that we know, that we have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus, because he changed my life so much. He would change their life. I need to tell them about Jesus. Anybody in this place, God changed your life? Jesus changed your life? Just anybody? Oh, wow, all over this place. And we know that he did it for us. He'll do it for them as well. Wherever you saw that early church, they were just talking about Jesus. In the temple, wherever they went, from house to house, wherever they went. And do you remember the passion that you first had for Jesus when you just got saved? Some of you, it's not been that long ago, maybe. And you remember, man, and maybe some of you, you're still on fire. You hadn't lost any of that. Sometimes we meet people who kind of, I don't know, it's just, you know, grown cold in their walk with the Lord. It's not what it once was. Sometimes we need to kind of reignite that fire. And I remember when I was just a boy, I was, goodness, I couldn't have been more than 8 or 10 years old. And it was a Sunday night church service at the old Mount Carmel Pentecostal Holiness Church at Massey Hill, a little community in Fayetteville, North Carolina, where I grew up. Caleb, I don't know if you have any idea where Massey Hill was. You spent some time in Fayetteville. That was where my home church was. I grew up in that church as a kid. And I've been saved when I was a little boy, about, I don't know, 5, 6 years old. But this particular Sunday night, I don't know if it was revival going on, but I mean, it was hopping in the church that night. And I was so excited about Jesus. This is what I did. Crazy thing. At night, in the dark, left the church. Now, don't ask me how I got outside the church without my mom and dad grabbing me and saying, what are you doing? Get back in here. But somehow I managed to get outside the church and started knocking on the doors of the folks that were around the church, telling them about Jesus. Just a little kid now, knocking on doors in the night, on a Sunday night, saying, you ought to be in church. I mean, God's there. You ought to be there. And I don't even remember doing this, but I found out later there was a lady that was sitting in her car. She was waiting to pick up her mom, who was in the church service. She didn't want to be in church. She was just sitting out there in the car waiting for her mom. And this little 18-year-old kid walks up, knocks on the door, and says, hey, you ought to be in there. That woman later became my youth leader. She sure did. Became my youth leader in the church when I was a teenager. Why am I telling you that story? It's because when you're on fire for Jesus, when you're really on fire for Jesus, nothing's going to stop you. You're going to tell somebody about Jesus. You just can't help it. Hey, you just got the can't help it. On fire for Jesus. That reminds me, I was last night going over my sermon. I'll just tell you this. Your preacher is so crazy that what he does on Saturday nights to prepare for his sermon on Sunday morning is he goes into a back bedroom of the house. I take out my iPad. I lay it on some pillows on a bed and make myself a makeshift pulpit. And I stand there and I preach my message out loud to an empty room, to a bed and the walls. I mean, so your preacher's just a little bit, you know, not there, okay? And it was kind of funny. We got a new puppy in our house, and a few weeks ago, I think Carol was out of town. I was there taking care of him, and so he followed me in there. And then here I am standing there shouting at the top of my lungs. He thinks I'm mad at him. He takes off running out of the room, you know. Well, last night, my grandson, little Eli, 3.5 years old, happened to be over, and I'm like, my granddaddy's got to go in. I got to do some studying. And next thing I know, here comes little Eli in the room where I'm in there preaching. And I'm trying to just keep my concentration, you know, and not paying a whole lot of attention. Finally, I finished and I walked out of the room, and Eli came up to me and he said, Granddaddy, why do people need to be on fire? I had to kind of teach him. I'm not talking about literal flames of fire. I'm talking about being excited, being passionate about Jesus. I'm telling you, we need to be on fire. I remember some advice that my father-in-law gave me when I was just starting to preach, and he wanted to see me succeed. And I don't know that I know he was quoting somebody, but I don't know who it was that he was quoting. He said, "The best advice that I can give you is set yourself on fire, and people will come to watch you burn." Set yourself on fire, and people will come to watch you burn. Listen, I think that that's not just good for what happens in the pulpit. I think that's good for all of us. That if we get set on fire for Jesus, people will come. People will be drawn like a moth that comes to the flame. People will be drawn. They're like, I want to see what's going on, what's happening there, what's happening in that church, what's happening in your life. And listen, when I'm talking about being excited and reaching people for Jesus, I'm not just talking about what happens inside of a building. Sometimes we get our eyes on a building. The early church didn't have a building until about 160 AD. So it's not about what happens in a building. Sometimes we use excuses. Well, if we were just on a better part of town, if we just had a different kind of building, listen, it's got nothing to do with the building. It's got everything to do with the Jesus that's inside of us and being passionate for him. Listen, it wasn't a matter of location with them. It was a matter of experience with them. It says about them that they took knowledge of them, that they have been with Jesus. There was something about them that people knew. Man, you've got that Jesus stuff all over you. And they took it public. They went from house to house. We can't just hide this thing inside of our church walls. We got to go where the people are. The early church, they had the concept that everybody was a preacher. In Acts chapter 8, for instance, it says those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. They didn't just put it on Peter, Paul. We got 2 or 3 preachers who were supposed to do all the preaching. No, it says that they that were scattered, that's everybody. That's the preachers, the laity, the leaders, the followers, everybody. They were involved in telling people about Jesus. You know, one of the things that we talk about our church is that we are an emergency room for the hurting and the broken. And I'm glad that we are. I'm glad that we are. That they're hurting because there are a lot of hurting, broken people out there. And they need what Jesus can do. Jesus is the answer. He's the one. And we want to invite them in and introduce them to Jesus. But here, let me put it to you this way. Instead of us just seeing ourselves as an emergency room where people come, what if we saw ourselves as the rescue squad that goes out to where they are? The rescue squad that goes out to where they are. It says, I know you're hurting. I know you're broken. I'm going to where you are. I'm going to love on you where you are. I'm going to tell you about Jesus where you are. And then somewhere in the course of that conversation, maybe invite them to come and to learn more about Jesus in our church. Here's the bottom line. I'm kind of wrapping up this part of my message today. We can come to church and we can have a good time. And we do. I mean, we love it. I mean, it's awesome. Holy Spirit moves. The worship team's awesome. We get stirred in our heart. We've done some dancing and jumping. Every once in a while, I'll see somebody take off and run. I'm like, man, this is old-fashioned camp meeting going on around here. You know, but here's the deal. Here's the deal, bottom line. Folks, we can run and dance and shout and jump and holler and have goosebumps. But if we don't tell people about Jesus, if we're not actively engaged in reaching lost people, then we are deceiving ourselves into believing we're doing what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus called it the Great Commission, not the vague suggestion, but the Great Commission. And I'm afraid sometimes we've been guilty of turning it into the Great Omission instead of the Great Commission. Lord, help us not to let that happen. Let us be like that New Testament church. No excuses. No excuses. So on fire for Jesus. And listen, if you're not on fire enough for Jesus to tell other people about Jesus, hey, there's your good starting point. Get on fire for Jesus. Just get on fire for Jesus. That's what made the New Testament church grow. And it's what's going to help us to grow Jesus' church today. The second thing that Roman historian said, and I'm just going to mention it, and then I'm going to move on. He said that they preached and believed the message of the resurrection. We're going to kind of flesh that out next week. But I want to raise it this morning because I want to really focus us today on being passionate about Jesus, about evangelism, about reaching the lost. And I want us to, I mean, us together, we're family here together. We're committing here together that we want to reach the lost for Jesus. And so we're wanting to focus our attention on these next 4 weeks headed toward Easter. Easter's 4 weeks away. It's the Resurrection Sunday. The New Testament church believed in the message of the resurrection and the hope that was found in the resurrection. We at Spirit Life Church believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know the hope that is found in that. And Easter Sunday is probably, of all the Sundays of the year, it's the easiest Sunday of the year to invite somebody to come to church, because a lot of people who don't normally go to church, they're not really regular at that. They're like, yeah, it's Easter. It's kind of a special thing. I think I'm going to go to church on that Sunday. And so what I want to do is, here's what I know. Some of you believe in your head and even in your heart what I've been talking about, the importance of reaching the lost, being on fire for Jesus, being passionate about Jesus, being mobilized to go out and reach this world for Jesus. But something happens between here and there. Something happens between us praying about it and preaching about it and amening it, and then when we get in front of people who really need to hear the message. Something happens between our personal prayer closet where we're saying, Lord, help me to reach lost people, and then we find ourselves in front of them and it doesn't happen. And some of us are like, that's so hard for me to do. It just goes against my personality type. I'm just not good at that. Listen, I'm not asking you to preach a sermon to anybody. And we want to help you. We want to make it easy. We want to put some tools in your hand that'll make it easy for you to just say, hey, would you just come to church with me on Easter? Because I believe that every one of you know folks who need to be in church. You know folks. Now, some of them, it's pretty obvious by the life that they live that they are lost. They're sinners. If they don't change their life, they're going to bust hell wide open when they die. I mean, some of you know that. All of us were that way one time or another. Maybe there's even somebody here in this room. You'd say, well, I'm still there. I haven't made that decision yet. And I know that if I was to die right now, I wouldn't be ready to go to heaven. If you do, I've got good news for you. Jesus died for you. You don't have to die and go to hell. Jesus died for you. He paid the penalty for your sin. All you got to do is make him Lord and Savior. But you know people, whether you know for sure, because we can't look inside of anybody's heart. And, you know, I'm not asking you to judge anybody, but you know whether they're going to church on a regular basis or not, if they're really plugged into a family somewhere. And if they're unchurched, then that's who we want to reach and invite to come to our church on Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, it's going to be a big day. If you've been around, some of you are kind of new to our church, and you're like, okay, what are we doing? Some of you are like, okay, Pastor Tommy, I've kind of heard you give this speech before. I know what's coming on. I've been here for Easter the last few weeks, last few years. I know what that's going to look like. Yeah, it's going to be a big day here. We're making an all-out push. We're inviting everybody to get involved. There's a lot of stuff that goes into being successful. There's on the table over here, the purple table with all the decorated Easter eggs. There's sign-up sheets over there. There's all kinds of teams that you can get involved in, whether it's the worship team or the children's team or the connections team, whatever it might be. There are places where you can get involved and where you can serve, and we want to encourage everybody to get involved. I mean, like, for instance, I know Pastor Angela. Pastor Angela just loves me because I asked her to do 2 Easter egg hunts on one Sunday morning. She loves me, you know. But she's willing to do it because she knows that if we can get the kids here, we can get their parents and their grandparents here, and kids love an Easter egg hunt. But she needs a lot of help putting out all those eggs twice on a Sunday morning. Why twice? Because I want the folks that come to the first service to get the same opportunity. I want their kids to get the same opportunity to have an awesome experience at Spirit Life as the folks that come to this service. I want them all to come, have a great opportunity to just have fun, enjoy. Listen, you know, nobody wants to come to church because it's dull and boring, even on Easter. So why don't we become the church that's not dull and boring? That's the exciting church, and let people come. And so we're going to do, and we're going to have a special emphasis. Listen, but it's not all about the fun. It's about the gospel is going to be presented. I promise you, I'm going to be preaching the gospel on Easter Sunday morning. I'm going to be giving your friends, your family, your loved ones, people that you know, that you've got a built-in relationship with already. I'm not asking you to invite people that you don't know. I'm not asking you to go knock on the doors of the people in the church around here I did that as a kid. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying, would you go to people that you know, that you know, that you have a relationship with, that as far as you know, they don't attend church anywhere, and invite them. And listen, if they tell you that they intend attend another church, bless them and say, hey, man, that's great. I didn't even realize that. I know you're going to be there on Easter Sunday, and wonderful. I'll tell you a story. This happened to my wife just a couple of days ago. This week, she went into a quick trip, and she was wearing her Spirit Life Church, her Place to Begin, Place to Belong Church, just like some of you are wearing. She was wearing that shirt. Somebody came in and looked at her and said, is that where you go to church? And she said, yeah. And my wife said, they snickered. And I'm like, huh? What do you mean they snickered? Yeah, kind of snickered. And then it walked out, went to their car, got a church invitation, and came back and gave it to my wife. And I don't think that's what the pastor meant when he made those up. I don't think that's what the pastor meant. I wish I knew who the pastor was. I just kind of like, hey, just want to let you know, you might want to give a little more instruction to the folks. Listen, but I am the pastor. I want to give some instruction to my folks. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. We're not fishing in somebody else's pond, y'all. Okay? We're going after the folks that aren't in a pond, that haven't been caught and that aren't a part of a church. We want to get the unchurched and the lost. That's who we want to bring in. This Easter, we're going to be doing a kind of, the name's a little on the edgy side. We did it on purpose. It's edgy. You saw it when you came in this morning. You saw the little cards that are here, the other Jesus. The other Jesus. I know some of you are thinking, what has happened to our pastor? Has he gone heretical? There is no other Jesus. Well, there is no other Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who is the Savior of the world and the one who forgave us of all of our sins. We've been talking about the name of Jesus today. There is no other Jesus, no other name but that name whereby we might be saved. There is no other Jesus in that regard. But here's the deal. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 17, in the New International Version, listen to what it says. In Matthew 27:17, so when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who's called the Messiah? Who do you want me to release, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ? Listen, I want to tell you that there is only those two choices. It was a choice that the crowd had that day. It's the choice that the crowd's going to have on this coming Easter Sunday morning. Who are we going to follow? Who are we going to serve? Are we going to follow Jesus and serve Jesus Barabbas, who represents the sinful us, the robber, the thief, the murderer that deserves to die and go to hell? Are we going to serve that fleshly person that he represents? Or are we going to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior? So I just want you to know, we're not going heretical here. But we're going after lost people. We're going to make it really clear. And I want you to be in on it, because you are in on it. You are a part of our team to help us to reach the lost. Listen, Easter is not about us. Easter at Spirit Life Church is about the unchurched. Why don't you just turn to somebody right now and tell them, Easter's not about us. Not about us. Come on. It's not about whether or not we come and we have a good time. It's about the fact that we care about lost people enough. Listen, here's what I want you to do. Can you come and sit one and serve one? Could you sit one and serve one? Could you come into a service like this and enjoy it and receive the good news of a resurrected Savior and be lifted up and encouraged in your spirit? But then could you say, but I'm going to come. Most of you probably are going to come to the second service. But you say, but I'm going to come to the first service. I'm going to come early. I'm going to be there before the 9 o'clock service starts. I'll help them greet. I'll help them out at the road waving. I'll help them on the camera team. I'll help them with whatever needs to be done. I'll sign up and I will help. I'll sit one and I'll serve one. And I'll invite somebody to come. I'll invite somebody to come. We want to make it easy for you. We've made these cards that you can just, they're small enough, you can put it in your wallet, you can put it in your purse, put it in your car, have it close at hand. When the Holy Spirit says, yeah, give that person that card, you can invite him to come to church. And it's not hard. It's like, hey, I'd love for you to come to church with me. It's going to be an awesome time in our church. I know you got kids. It's going to be some great things for the kids. There's going to be a train for the kids to ride on. Kids love that little train. I mean, it's kind of goofy, you know, when you think about it. Some trash barrels turn on their side with, screwed down to some wheels and pulled by a lawnmower. I mean, that sounds really awesome, right? But those kids just love it. It's just fun for them. Here's how you ask him to come. Would you come sit with me? Would you come serve with me? Would you come see me? It's not really hard. Hey, we're having Easter at our church. Would you come sit with me? My husband's going to be busy. My wife's going to be over the other part. Or, you know, sometimes I'm by myself. And I'll save a seat for you. Would you just come and sit with me? It would mean a lot if you just come and enjoy this Easter service with me. Here's the card. It's got all the information on it. Yeah, anybody can do that. Would you come serve with me? Hey, I'm going to be one of those crazy waivers out at the road. We need some more. I know you're kind of crazy and goofy. Would you come help me? We'll do it together. Wouldn't that be fun? Come serve with me. Come see me. I'm going to be on the worship team. I'm going to be, a part of the service. And I would like for you to come. You know, my kids are going to be here. I'd love for you to come and see them. Watch them do the Easter egg hunt. It would be a lot of fun. Come sit with me, come see me, come serve with me. It's just easy. Invite someone to come. Invite an unchurched person. The statistics say that 90% of the people that are in church today are here because they got invited, not by a stranger, but by somebody they knew. I just want to, quick poll. Honestly, raise your hand if you are in church today because somebody you knew invited you. Now, that might have been your mom and dad that brought you when you were 3 years old, but that was somebody you knew invited you to church. Yeah, a lot of hands going up around the room today. I'm guessing, yeah, we're 80, 90% there. Sure. So what am I saying is there's some folks that would love, they would probably come if you just invited them. Here's another statistic. Most recent numbers. Only 17% of Americans go to church regularly on a Sunday morning. That means 4 out of the 5 people that you pass do not go to church on Sunday. A lot of people we know that need Jesus. So here's what I want to ask you to do. If you'll grab the card that's right here, and we're getting ready to go, okay? But this is important. Folks, this is important. I just ask you if you can, just hang in with me for like 5 more minutes. This card has a place on one side where you can write down 3 names. Just 3 names. I'm not asking you to write down 10 or 15 names. Would you just write down 3 names? Names of people that you know, as far as you know, they don't attend church. They're unchurched, or maybe you know, they've just told you, I don't believe in that Jesus stuff. I don't believe in all that. And you're saying, by writing these names down, I'm going to pray for these people every day between now and Easter, and then I'm going to invite them to come. Did everybody get one of these? Is there anybody that there wasn't one close enough when you came in? They were all over the seats. Is there anybody that didn't get one? I just want to make sure because we got a few extras if you need one. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Holy Spirit, just bring a picture, bring a face, bring a name to my mind right now. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. Maybe it's your mom or dad, a brother, a sister, a niece, a nephew, an uncle. Somebody that you know, a family member that, as far as you know, they don't have a relationship with Jesus. They need what Spirit Life offers. They need Jesus. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe somebody you go to school with. Maybe it's a next-door neighbor. Maybe somebody you play golf with or you quilt with. Whatever it is that you do, and you just know these people, and you know, I'm just going to be praying and asking that the Holy Spirit would open up their heart and give me an opportunity to invite them to come to church on Easter Sunday morning. On the back of this card, it talks about your promise and our promise. Your promise is basically, I'm going to write their name down, I'm going to invite them to come, I'm going to pray for them every day. And when they come on Easter Sunday, I'm going to invite them to come back the following week. Because we can get them back the next week. We can get them into a habit that, and that's what we want to do. Not just a one-time thing. We want to get their lives changed and turned around. Our promise is written down here too. And this, if you read it, it says that our staff is promising that we're going to pray for your friends and your family members every day between now and Easter. And we're going to offer the very best service we can that day, something that you won't be embarrassed to invite your friends to. And that we're going to present the gospel message boldly and clearly so they get a chance to be introduced to Jesus. That's our promise. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask you after that prayer to come up and bring, these are cards that were already placed down here by the 9 o'clock service. And I'm going to ask you if you'll just write those names down, three names. If you can think of four or five, go ahead and write four or five names down. There's nothing wrong with that. If all you can think of is one or two, write the one or two names down. Maybe the Lord will bring that other one or two to you later on this week. And then you can write it down and give it to us so that we can be praying with you about it later. Father, don't want to make this complicated. Don't want to turn this into some kind of a circus. Lord, we just really sincerely want to be so on fire for Jesus that we really care about the eternal destination of our friends and our family, people that we know, people that we love. Lord, we want to stand before you one day, and when we give an account, we don't want to hear you say, how come you'd ever invited them to come? If you'd have just asked them, they'd have come. Lord, we don't want to hear the displeasure that would be in your voice that day. We want to hear you say, well done. Lord, we know that we don't control what people do. Lord, all we can do is make the invitation. That doesn't mean that they're going to come. It doesn't mean that if they do come, that they're going to give their heart to Jesus. It's just, we just did what we could do, and then we have to trust the rest of it into your hands. And Lord, that's where we put this today. Help us to do our part. Lord, help us to give you something to work with so that we'll come to the end of Easter, and Lord, we'll shout and we'll rejoice because we saw a great harvest of souls come into the kingdom. Lord, give us those names right now. Show us those faces right now. We write them down. We make the commitment. We're going to pray for them. We're going to invite them. Thank you for giving us the help, Lord, that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've got those names already written down on your card, go ahead and bring them up to the front. And I just want you to stay here at the front as you come. Don't go back to your seat. Just stay up here because we're going to pray together. You're going to help me to pray for all of these names that have been here. So just come, bring them, put them on the floor down here at the front. Just stay close by, and we're going to pray together. Just going to pray together. People are going to be praying for your friends. You're going to be praying for their friends. Just stay right here where you are. Yeah, just thank you for coming. Just thank you for coming. I'm going to bring them up to the front. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord, that this is a somber moment, Lord. We don't take this lightly or for granted. God, that we're wanting to hear from you. Lord, show us. Lord, show us who it is that you want us to reach out to, who it is that you want us to be loving on today. Show us, Lord, I pray. Hallelujah. I'm going to close here in just a moment. Let me just, while our people are bringing their cards still, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you don't know for sure that if you died that you would go to heaven, listen, I don't want you to have to wait till Easter to make that decision. You can make that decision right now. Anybody in this place would say, I need Jesus in my life. Would you raise your hand? I'd pray with you. We'll pray together right now. You need to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus right now. Don't want to wait till Easter. Don't want to wait weeks later. Right now. I don't see any hands being lifted. I hope that means that everybody here is a born-again child of God. Some of you are still working on that list. Would you just join me in prayer? Would you extend your hand toward the front right now over all of these? I'm just going to reach down and pick up one of these. Here's a Diane and a Debbie. Diane and a Debbie. I don't know them, but Jesus does. We're going to pray for Diane and Debbie today. And every other name that's written here that Diane and Debbie represent. Lord, pray for Diane today. Pray for Debbie today. Lord, I pray whoever wrote their name down, Lord, that you'll give them the opportunity and the boldness to seize the opportunity to invite them to come to hear about Jesus and his resurrection power at Spirit Life Church. Lord, we pray for every name that has been written down on these cards and the names that maybe there's some folks have only written down one name or two names. They're still waiting for you, Holy Spirit, to show them that last name. Lord, those names written all throughout this church, people that we know that need Jesus. God, would you draw them, Holy Spirit? There are our brothers and our sisters and our moms and our dads, and there are our coworkers and our friends and our family and our neighbors, and the people we play ball with and do life with, and they need Jesus. Lord, as we do our part, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would go before us and prepare the way and soften the earth, that as we drop the seed of an invitation into their heart, that it'll spring forth and it'll bring forth fruit. God, that you'll help us, each one, to do our very best. God, I pray that we would truly be mobilized as a church. That we'd be truly passionate about Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would be those flaming messengers and tireless workers. And Lord, between now and your second coming, whenever that is, if that's days or months or years, whatever it looks like, God, that we're going to be faithfully serving you and doing our part. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be a soul-winning church, a disciple-making church, a church-planting church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week. If you're a first-time guest, don't forget to go by our Guest Central table. We'd love to meet you. Give you a gift for coming.